without a new heart, he's not going to make it.
Okay. Take mine.
What?
You heard me. Take my heart, and you put it in Mike.
Oh, man, you done lost your damn mind.
You can't be serious.
You bet I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Man, that means you'll be dead.
And my son will live.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios.
The Rubicon. In three, two, one.
Paragon 7.
Back on the Rubicon Sirius XM channel 141. Howard University Radio Networks. I have a fantastic guest hanging out with us in the booth this week. I always talk about people that help to make this show what it is. There's so many people that I would not have this platform if it wasn't for their support over the years. And as we continue to grow, we want to continue to bring in the talent and bring in individuals that have arrived with us from day one. And David Meyer is one of these individuals. We've collaborated together for many years, back before I was calling the show The Rubicon, back when it was just the Lanch Day Radio Network Healthcast. We've done Rise together. We've done conventions together. And it's been a fantastic ride. So it's just any time that David can come in and chat with us is a fantastic day. It's always good to catch up with him privately and talk about family matters and what's going on. It's funny, a lot of the stuff, David, that we talk about is probably more funny off air than what we discuss on air because it's uncensored.
Yeah.
It's real unfiltered opinions that won't get us canceled or kicked off of radio or perhaps banned from healthcare. So it's always just interesting to chop it up. But I appreciate you. Yeah. Great having you on the show once again. Want to talk? You sent me some interesting stuff before the broadcast, and one of the key components, I see a lot of people like the both of us that have experience at the executive level, running quality teams, running clinical operations, building networks. We've been through those experiences. We've been in the boardroom. We've been in the war room. We've gotten our faces kicked in by providers. We've had to work with individuals that hated our guts, but stood tall through it all and it have produced results. But we're getting to an area where artificial intelligence is really stepping to the forefront. Now, I have friends that have mixed opinions on artificial intelligence. I have a friend that actually believes they likened it to a global Ouija board, which is what they exactly called it. They said, you know, ChatGPT, AI, you just put it in, you put your hand on it, and it just moves, and you say, hey, you know, will the world end in 2075? And in the hand just, you know, yes, yes. And there may be a little bit of truth to that. From a healthcare lens, David, I'm a big AI guy. I mean, I think that if AI can help you to find that you're becoming a pre-diabetic early, or if AI can help that you're in a stage zero cancer, or can help you're losing your sight because of macular degeneration, and they can find that stuff, it can find something in your gait. You know, you're having a hip issue, your hip is going bone on bone, and it's finding out before you have the serious pain. I see value in that. I see value in the concept that if there's a surgeon in New York City that's one of the best surgeons in the world, and they can use artificial intelligence or ChatGPT to help that individual perform a surgery to assist a doctor in Nairobi, Kenya, in Iraq, in anywhere in the world where you have war, you have squalor, you have situations.
Yep.
I see a lot of value in that. However, it's a mixed bag. There are other ways. I mean, there are people that will probably download their favorite porn star to a robot and eschew their wife and children for that. So it could go either way. What did you send me to kind of tell the audience? And then what are your thoughts on kind of the next frontier AI when it gets into the healthcare
world? I'm with you, man. I've been jazzed about AI for a while. And it's not like you and I didn't think that there would be issues,
right?
But what's weird is where the issues are popping up. And I'm going to pick a non-healthcare one just because it just hit my radar screen. So this is a Court of Appeals case in Georgia, Shahid versus Assam.
Okay.
Is decided June 30th. Anyway, I'm not an attorney.
Right.
What I understand from other people.
We don't play attorneys on
radio.
That's
right. But what I understand from other people is that the case, that the trial court judge issued rulings that cited case law that doesn't exist.
Now, where did they get the case law? So was it just made up AI, like they made up their own case?
Yeah, I think it fabricated case law.
So that's
so fair. so
that's not ideal.
Yeah, so I'm still like wrapping my head around it. It was cited, it was used to decide the original court case.
Okay,
and obviously it came up in appeal, but no counsel, it appears, recognized that it was fake case law the first time around. So
it got through, and I'm not a legal expert, so it got through the initial hearing and the initial discussion. There wasn't anyone at the attorney level that said that, hey, this is not a legitimate case. I can't research and find where this case
is. Right. Well, I mean, like the reason you hire an attorney and not doing it yourself is because when a judge is making a decision based on case law, you want someone that understands that case
law. It's actually sending the judge and saying, hey, here's a precedent.
Yeah, this is a little bit different, and you know, I don't think you should apply it that way, Your Honor.
So does that mean that the attorney was inept, or does it just mean that?
It's crazy. So, I mean, we talk in AI circles, and I'm helping out a couple companies that have AI products.
All right.
We talk about hallucinations.
All
right. Right? Well, that's a pretty big...
Right,
hallucination.
Yeah, so that's
we just made up case law,
right.
So that's kind of a big one. But the fact that it got cited in by the decisions, that it just seems coconuts to me. And so you think about like back to healthcare. I mean, I'm with you on AI nudging you to do the right thing.
Sure.
AI saying, "Hey, I'm detecting this."
Right,
right. But this is kind of like where AI is saying, like you were saying, you could be an early diabetic, right? Like, what's the downside, right?
Yeah.
If AI is telling you, eat a little bit better, exercise more, see your doctor, well, shoot, you know, any good grandfather or grandmother with no medical education would tell you the exact same stuff.
I think people are worried that the information could be public, though. So if I'm developing... If I'm in the early stages of prostate cancer or something and AI has detected that, if it's just between me and AI, I think that most people are comfortable with that. But will that information go to my health plan? Will it go to Nike? Because, I mean, right now, Nike puts the sensors when you're running. So I guess they could see your gait and they could see, hey, there's something, you got osteoporosis. Will that information be public? You and I'm not going to name any names, but you and I work in the industry where there have been huge data breaches with vendors and with hospitals and with health plans that have had deleterious impacts where information that should be private is public. I think when I talk to people, that's the resistance that I hear. It's not that they don't want to be, you know, using the restroom and the toilet says, hey, your urine has ketones in it. You need to go see a doctor immediately. I think it's more, is that information made public to people that I don't want that made public to?
Yeah, so I'm going to say something that I think a lot of people won't like, but I think it's true.
That's all right.
I think we are moving to a place where your ability to control anything about you is gone.
Can't control the narrative anymore, right?
And the question
is public society.
The question is not can I have secrets anymore? The answer is no.
Wow.
But the question is, who gets to have my secrets?
Right.
That, I think, is the choice, right? So you could, like, getting back to choosing which insurance company, right? So, like, if there was an insurance company that kind of had a lot of court cases lately and they're misusing the data, maybe that's
been
not
breached.
Maybe that's not the company for you,
right?
Yeah, breaches, whatever. They're a little sloppy, you know, like, I think that's the choice, right? Because it's like, they're going to have everything.
Wow.
They're going to have everything.
That's realistic.
And you think about the amount of monitoring that's going on right now. And I don't know how many of the listeners actually read through all the fine script or just click, I've read it and I approve.
That's right.
But that fine script is saying, oh, by the way.
90% of us read the first.
We're going to totally use your
read
data.
Read the first five lines.
We're going to monetize the hell out of you. We're in this weird zone right now with AI, and the hallucination thing is a real problem. I was jazzed about the toilet one you just did was funny, but I was jazzed about the idea that you could interact with tech, learn more just right away at home, and not go into the doctor. But going to the doctor, knowing more,
right,
and having a sense of urgency if you need a sense of urgency, or having an appropriate sense that no, this is not something that has to be today.
I'm all for it. I mean, I'm even for extreme cases. I'm not in that situation. But if I was battling cancer or a late stage illness that was life threatening, you put the nanobots in me, man. If I have a 30% chance of living 5 years. What is putting a nanobot in me? How's that going to make it worse? How's that going to make the situation worse? I mean, I think that anything with AI that's health related, I'm generally thumbs up on. I think some of the other stuff, I don't know if I want wars being fought totally with AI. I don't know if when it starts getting into relationships and how people convene together, you're merging technology and kind of making your spouse what you want them to be with technology. I don't know if I support that, but from a healthcare perspective, it just getting well and having a healthy heart, having healthy limbs, having healthy vision, hearing, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's crazy because you just mentioned two things that are completely impacted by tech right now, right? What's going on in Europe, Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. Ukraine, Russia, right. is pivoting from people shooting at each other
to drones
destroying planes. So machine destroying another machine. There's no people there at all. The aggressive drone destroying a plane on a tarmac.
World War I where people are in trenches in France.
No, just like the exact opposite, right? And
it's a guy in Kiev pushing a button.
And I'm not saying people are dying, right? I'm not being naive. Like people are dying and civilians are dying and it's a terrible thing. But that's pivoting on us real time right now. And on the relationship front, I mean, it's not just, create, grow a wife or grow a husband, kind of stuff. It's like even just the simple stuff, like how much.
I'm sorry, if my wife could program me to take the trash out at specific, we just celebrated our third year. So if she could program me to wash dishes and take trash out and mop the floor at a specific time, she would definitely leverage that. That's all of us, brother.
Leverage that. Yeah, but I mean, like what you're saying there, though, it's like think about just like the simple thing, which is actually profound.
Right.
That the way that men and women are engaging with technology is totally changing their conception about themselves.
That's true.
And who they deserve. Right. And the simplest ways to assess this is, you survey 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 people, and how many think of themselves as a 10 and how many think of themselves as a 1. Right. And it's like shifted all the way up to like 10, 9, 8, like the vast majority of people, right? And that's just so ludicrous. Like nobody thinks of themselves as average anymore. And that certainly is a technology impact on our society. So yeah, it's changing fast. But on the healthcare side, I am really bullish about what AI can do. It's going to be interesting to see over the next 3.5 years how the Trump administration under Dr. Oz and RFK how they kind of parse AI becoming more and more involved. Because right now, as it stands today, not a lot of AI in healthcare yet, with the exception of radiology. AI is everywhere in radiology right now. There are like 400 or 500 companies at least doing AI assisted radiology. And so to your point before about like doctors and how they interact with AI, I believe in the very near future that there will be court cases where a doctor had access to AI, a radiologist, chose to read the film without the AI, missed something, patient dies, suing the doctor because the doctor had access to AI and the AI would have diagnosed the thing. And so what that will be when those cases start coming, what that will do is re-baseline what it means to practice
It'll
medicine.
It'll create a different baseline.
You have to use AI. And I think we'll be, so. And then you're responsible for finding the hallucinations as opposed to it's my choice to use AI. I actually think we're going to be really close on radiology probably first. They'll be the tip of the spear.
Okay.
Got to use it.
I'm a person, I just believe, I think I embrace it. And I'm with you. It's coming whether you want it or not. So you can pontificate on it and have your own moral code and say that this is the devil and this is something else. It's going to be a standard in the next 5 years. So I want to be on the right side of the standard and be able to leverage that for my own personal health and my loved ones. We'll be back and we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of The Rubicon on Sirius XM Channel 141, Healthcare for the Culture.
When buying drugs like heroin, cocaine, crack, and pills off the street. But did you know that any of those drugs could also contain fentanyl? Fentanyl is an opioid 50 times stronger than heroin, and it contributed to over 80% of overdose deaths in Maryland. Anyone who uses drugs, even occasionally, is at risk of an overdose. Learn to reverse an overdose with an easy-to-use medication called Naloxone at stopoverdose.maryland.gov or call or text 988.
Caitlin Clark from the logo.
You know, life would be easier if I could do everything from the logo.
Allow me to assist.
Pickles. It worked. Buckets. Now that's a tomato. Sheboygan.
The answer is Sheboygan.
They match. P-E-Z-O-L.
Bottom row.
From the logo.
State Farm with the assist.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.